Okay, so let's be honest. Everyone's buzzing about AI, hitting the workforce. It seems like every company is all of a sudden claiming to have like this, this ultimate AI strategy.
It does seem like AI is, it is the hot topic right now. But are all these companies truly ready to like walk the walk?
That's the question. Like, just having a strategy, that doesn't mean you're actually getting results. So in this deep dive, we're going to go deeper than just like using AI. We're talking about AI proficiency.
Exactly. And we need to understand what separates those who are truly succeeding with AI, becoming genuinely proficient, for those who are just sort of dipping their toes in.
And for this deep dive, we have, this amazing report measuring not just how people are using AI, but their knowledge and even their prompting
Well,
skills.
what's fascinating is that we discovered that the current state of AI proficiency in the workforce might not be as advanced as, all the hype would lead you to
Oh,
believe.
really? Tell me more.
Well, based on a survey of over 5,000 knowledge workers, it turns out that most of us are still AI novices. We're playing around with it.
Yeah.
But less than 10% are actually what we would consider truly proficient.
Wow. Less than 10%. That's a tiny fraction. So who are these AI trailblazers? Any patterns in terms of what they do or the companies they work for?
There are some interesting trends emerging. When we look at job functions, it seems that language-intensive roles are ahead of the curve. Think marketing, sales, even software engineering. They have more AI experts and practitioners than other fields.
Makes sense. AI is a natural fit for tasks that involve a lot of writing and content creation. They're probably using AI for everything from crafting marketing copy to, like you said, writing code.
Precisely. And on the flip side, roles that deal with sensitive data, like HR and finance, are lagging behind in AI proficiency.
Wait, HR, isn't HR often responsible for deploying, AI initiatives within companies?
That's the ironic part. They're crucial to, successful AI integration, but they're often the least proficient. It's a real head-scratcher for companies that are relying on HR to lead the charge.
Definitely something for companies to think about. So if it's not just about the type of work, does company size play a role in AI proficiency? I'd assume those massive companies with tons of resources would be, ahead of the game.
You'd think so, right? But it turns out the company size isn't as big of a factor as you might expect. It actually matters less than the specific industry and function a company is in.
So it's not about throwing money at the problem. It's about having the right approach, regardless of your size. That's a refreshing perspective. So we know that less than 10% of the workforce is truly AI proficient, but what's the real benefit of, reaching that level? Is there a tangible payoff?
Here's where things get interesting. Our research uncovered a direct correlation between AI proficiency and time savings. Those AI experts at the top of their game, they're reporting saving a significant amount of time, upwards of 10%. For some, that translates to a median of 10 hours saved every single week.
10 hours? That's like having an extra work day every week. I bet their colleagues who aren't as proficient are starting to feel the heat.
The data confirms it. The time savings drop dramatically when you compare AI experts to less proficient groups. AI practitioners and experimenters see a decent benefit, saving about 6 hours per week, but those who are still AI novices are only saving around 3 hours.
So even moving up just one step on the proficiency ladder can make a big difference in terms of, time saved. But does all this time saved actually translate into better work and increased productivity, or are people just spending those extra hours scrolling through social media?
That's the golden question, isn't it? And the answer is encouraging. Early studies and some really compelling anecdotal evidence suggests that this isn't just about working less, it's about working smarter. AI proficiency seems to be driving both increased productivity and higher quality output.
Do we have any real-world examples of how this is playing out? Because that's a bold claim.
Absolutely. Remember that BCG study we mentioned earlier? They did some fascinating research with a group of consultants. They gave some of them access to AI tools and compared their performance to those who didn't have AI.
Okay, I'm all ears. What happened?
The consultants using AI not only completed more tasks, but they also did so faster and with a significant boost in quality as judged by their managers. The study design involved a mix of tasks typical for consultants, things like data analysis, report writing, and creating presentations. The AI tools helped them streamline these tasks, freeing up their time and mental energy to focus on, the higher level thinking and strategy.
That's convincing. It's not just about shaving off a few hours. It's about using AI to up your game across the board. I'm starting to see why AI proficiency is so important. But let's face it, there's still a lot of uncertainty and even fear surrounding this technology.
You're absolutely right. And that brings us to another crucial finding, something we call shadow AI. It turns out that a surprisingly high number of employees are using AI even when their companies haven't officially adopted it, or even worse, have explicitly banned it.
Wait, people are going rogue with AI. That seems risky.
It can be, but the desire to explore and experiment with AI is clearly strong. We found that only 18% of employees work for companies that have actually deployed a large language model, or LLM. But hold on to your hats, because even in companies where AI is banned, 43% of employees are still using it.
Wow, that's almost half the workforce in those companies. So much for those AI bans. What are they using if their company isn't providing them with tools?
They're turning to publicly available platforms like ChatGPT, which I find fascinating because it highlights this drive to experiment and find, you know, the right AI tools for the job. And even in companies that have deployed their own LLM, like Microsoft Copilot, a significant number of employees are still experimenting with other tools.
It sounds like trying to ban AI is a bit like trying to hold back the tide. It's going to happen whether you like it or not.
Exactly. So for any CEOs or, you know, AI team leaders out there listening, you can't just bury your head in the sand. AI is already part of your workforce, whether you've officially adopted it or not.
And ignoring it could actually make things riskier. So how can companies navigate this new reality? Is it all about strict policies and guidelines, or is there a more nuanced approach?
Here's where company culture and leadership play a huge role. We found a direct link between a company's stance on AI and the proficiency of its workforce. Not surprisingly, companies that explicitly approve of AI and embrace it have a more proficient workforce. Makes sense. You know, if a company is encouraging and supporting, you know, AI usage, employees are naturally going to feel more confident and motivated to learn and develop their skills. But the interesting part is what happens when companies don't take a clear stance.
You mean like when they just stay silent on the whole AI issue? I can imagine that leads to confusion.
Exactly. Our research shows that being silent on AI is just as detrimental as banning it. Both correlate with lower AI proficiency. It sends mixed messages. Employees, you know, they know that AI is out there, but they're left wondering if they should be using it and how to use it properly, you know, within their work.
Yeah. It's like the company is saying, you know, we don't want to talk about it, but you should probably figure it out on your own. That's a recipe for hesitation and mistakes.
Definitely, definitely not a good approach. A clear company policy on AI is absolutely, absolutely essential. But here's the kicker. Even if a company has a pro-AI stance, if an individual's manager discourages it, their proficiency still takes a hit.
Whoa, so the manager's attitude can, like, override the company policy. That's a powerful insight.
It highlights the incredible influence that direct managers have on their team's behavior and skill development. Our data shows this clearly. In companies that officially approve of AI, those whose managers actively encourage AI usage are far more likely to be AI experts or practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
But those whose managers discourage it, even subtly, lag significantly behind.
So it's not enough to just have a policy, you know, on paper. You need to get your managers on board and give them the resources and support they need to champion AI within their teams.
Absolutely. It has to be a company-wide effort. Now, speaking of resources and support, let's talk about training. Are companies investing in upskilling their workforce? And if so, is it actually effective?
This is a big one, and I have a feeling the answer might be a bit discouraging.
You're right. We discovered that a shockingly small percentage of employees, only 24% to be exact, have received any, you know, formal AI training from their companies. And the training that does exist seems to be missing the mark in a crucial way.
How so? It seems like any training would be better than none at all.
Well, while training does seem to increase AI usage, which is to be expected, it's not actually translating into increased knowledge about AI or better prompting skills.
Wait. So people are using AI more, but they're not necessarily using it like better or more effectively. That seems like a huge problem.
Exactly. And the culprit seems to be the focus of most AI training programs. Right now, they're heavy on policy and guidelines. Don't do this, don't do that. But light on, you know, practical hands-on skills development.
So they're telling people about AI, but not actually teaching them how to use it. That seems like a huge missed opportunity.
It is. Imagine if you were given a driver's manual, but never allowed to get behind the wheel. You wouldn't really know how to drive, would you? For AI training to be truly effective, companies need to shift their focus to developing practical skills. How to craft effective prompts, how to spot and correct bad output, and, and most importantly, how to think critically about how AI can be used to improve their work.
Yeah, it sounds like we need an AI driving school complete with, you know, simulators and hands-on practice. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground, the state of AI proficiency, the role of company culture and training, but there's one big elephant in the room we haven't addressed yet, the anxiety surrounding AI. This is something that, you know, a lot of people are struggling with.
It's undeniable. A significant portion of the workforce, 43% to be precise, feel anxious about AI's implications, and another third feel overwhelmed.
I can understand why. AI is changing the world of work as we know it, and that naturally creates uncertainty, even fear. Do we have any insights into what's driving this anxiety? Is it about AI itself, or is it something, you know, something deeper?
We actually found that the anxiety doesn't seem to stem from a distrust of AI's capabilities. Mm-hmm. The majority of employees actually trust AI to help them, you know, with their work. The fear is more nuanced than that.
So it's not about whether AI can do the job, but more about the potential consequences of it doing the job.
Exactly. We found two main sources of AI anxiety. The first is the existential fear of job loss. You know, the classic robots are taking over scenario. And the second is a more tactical fear of not knowing how to use AI correctly, of falling behind and not having the skills to keep up in this new world of work.
Yeah, it's like a double whammy of fear. It must be incredibly stressful for, you know, for people who are feeling both of those things at the same time.
It's a heavy burden to carry. And here's where that connection between proficiency and anxiety becomes, you know, really relevant. We found that higher AI proficiency actually correlates with lower anxiety.
That makes sense. The more you understand something, the less intimidating it becomes. But how can companies actually break this cycle of fear and help their employees, you know, feel more comfortable with AI?
It starts with acknowledging that AI anxiety is real and valid. And then it's about providing the right resources and support to address both the, you know, the existential and tactical fears. Clear communication about the company's AI strategy, comprehensive training programs, and a supportive culture that encourages learning and experimentation. These are all essential.
Yeah, it's about creating an environment where employees feel safe to explore AI, to make mistakes and learn from them without the fear of judgment or, you know, repercussions.
Precisely. And another interesting insight is that the employees who are most excited about AI tend to be those who are already the most proficient. This suggests that companies might want to focus their initial efforts on those who are already open and receptive to AI, and then use their enthusiasm and expertise to create a ripple effect throughout the organization.
Yeah. It's like building a network of AI champions within the company. Empower your early adopters, give them the tools and support they need, and their positive energy and knowledge will spread to others.
Exactly. It's a much more effective and sustainable approach than trying to force everyone to adopt AI at the same pace.
Okay. I think we've given our listener a lot to think about. It's clear that most organizations are not truly prepared for the AI revolution, even if they think they have a plan.
It's a wake-up call, for sure. But it's not all doom and gloom. There are concrete steps companies can take to get this right.
Absolutely. And it starts with recognizing that this isn't just about implementing technology. It's about people, culture, and leadership.
So for all the CEOs and AI teams listening, what are the most important takeaways? What can they do to, you know, to make sure their companies are truly AI ready? Based on, you know, everything we've discussed, I say there are three crucial actions to take. First, ditch the ambiguity and develop a crystal clear AI policy.
Mm.
Don't stay silent, don't be vague, and definitely don't try to ban AI. That's a losing battle.
So be upfront with your employees about your AI strategy and how you expect them to use these tools.
Exactly. Employees need to know where they stand, what's expected of them, and what resources are available to support them. A well-defined AI policy is the foundation for building a culture of, you know, responsible and effective AI usage.
Makes sense. But it's not just about, you know, a top-down mandate. We've talked about how important managers are in this whole process.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the second key action. Empower everyone, especially, you know, frontline managers, to be AI proficient. Leadership from the top is important, but it's the managers who are working directly with their teams, you know, day in and day out, who can truly drive adoption and skill development.
It's about equipping your managers with the knowledge, skills, and, you know, confidence to not only lead by example, but also to guide and support their teams as they navigate, you know, the AI landscape.
Right. And finally, and this might be the most important action of all, it's time to revamp those AI training programs. Ditch the boring policy lectures and focus on practical hands-on skills development.
Bring on the AI driving school I mentioned earlier. Let's get people behind the wheel and actually teach them how to use these tools effectively, how to write, you know, great prompts, how to critically evaluate the output.
I love that analogy. Yeah. It's about giving people the confidence and competence to become, you know, true AI users, not just passive observers.
This has been a fascinating deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground, from the current state of AI proficiency to the anxieties people are facing and the steps companies can take to get AI right. But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listener with some, you know, final food for thought. This AI revolution is still in its early stages and there are a lot of unknowns.
Absolutely. But that's what makes this, you know, such an exciting time. We're at a pivotal moment, and the decisions we make today will shape the future of work.
So, dear listener, here are a few things to consider as you navigate this new world of AI. Will your company be one of the winners who effectively use AI to boost productivity, enhance creativity, and unlock new possibilities? Think about your own manager's attitude toward AI. Do they align with your company's stance? Are they creating an environment where you feel supported to learn and experiment? And most importantly, how can you take charge of your own, you know, AI journey? What steps can you take to develop the skills and knowledge you need, not just to survive, but to thrive in this new era of work?
These are important questions to reflect on. You know, it's easy to get caught up in all the hype or feel overwhelmed by the rapid pace of change. But the key is to focus on what you can control.
Yeah.
Your own knowledge, skills, and mindset.
Beautifully said. And remember, AI is a tool. It's up to us to use it wisely, ethically, and creatively to solve problems, enhance our capabilities, and ultimately build a better future.
It's been a pleasure unpacking all of this with you. Hopefully our listener now feels, you know, equipped to navigate this exciting new world of AI.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and keep learning.